Bava Metzia, Perek Aleph, Mishneh Ches. This Mishneh will actually deal with five different component issues regarding the laws of finding shtaros, of finding documents. The first case of the Mishneh deals with documents that were produced by a bezdin, by a court. And because they've been produced by a court, unlike the previous Mishnah where we're concerned that perhaps even though the documents have been written, perhaps they have not been executed upon, maybe they haven't really been given over to the person they were designed for. Here in this case, since it's written by a Beis Din, we can presume that the Beis Din did not write it unless they were actually going to give it over, and therefore we can give it back to the person to whom it was designated to. The Mishnah begins, Matza Igros Shum. If a person finds letters of estimation. This refers to this is where a Beis Din will write to a lender a document that they have evaluated the value of the property of the borrower in order for him to use it to be repaid for the balance of his loan. The igros mazon, or letters regarding mazon, regarding sustenance, and that is a document that the Beis Din will write for a woman whose husband has agreed to pay for the mizonos, for the sustenance of her daughter that she has from her previous husband. Alternatively, it may be referring to a document that the Beis Din writes for when they sell the husband's nechasim, the husband's property, in order to maintain the mizonos, the sustenance of his wife and daughters. Or if he finds shtarei chalitza umeyunin, these are documents that the Beis Din will write to testify to the fact that a woman has received chalitza ceremony, umeyunin, or that is a document that testifies to the fact that a girl who was in a kedushin drabanan, a rabbinic marriage that was created by her mother or her brother, that she has the right to refuse the marriage and say, I don't want to be in it anymore. That's called meyun. And if the Beis Din writes a document to that effect, Ushtare Verurin, or a document that identifies that the two litigants in a case have each chosen who they want to serve as a dayan, as a judge on the Beis Din. Sometimes the Beis Din is an informal Beis Din that's ad hoc in that it's been chosen by the two litigants, and then the third dayan is chosen by both parties. So that shtar that testifies to that is called shtarei beirurin. V'chol ma'asei Beis Din, and any act of Beis Din also as well. This general statement comes to include something called a shtar chalta, which is a document that the Beis Din will write to the lender, to that the property of the borrower has been given to him for to collect his loan when the borrower is not around. Or it's referring to shtar ad karta. Shtar ad karta is a document that the Beis Din will write to the borrower that whenever he finds property, he has not yet found any property, but when he finds property that belongs to the borrower, he's allowed to use it to collect his loan. All of these documents that were written by the Beis Din, hareza yachzir, we can return them to the person to whom the Beis Din wrote them, because we are allowed to assume that once the Beis Din writes it, they give it to the party for whom it's designated. Now the Mishnah will discuss what happens if you find a document which there is an identifying sign, there is a siman for the document. Matza b'chafisa, if you find the document inside some sort of a bag, obit luskama, or another type of pouch, and those pouches or bags have some sort of a siman, some sort of identifying sign on them, tachrich shel shtaros, or there is, let's say, it's a bundle of documents together with a certain number of documents that they are all bundled together, or aguda shel shtaros, another type of bundle, and the difference between a tachrich and an aguda is tachrich is that each shtar is separate from its each other, and the aguda shel shtaros is where they're laid flat on top of each other and then tied together. So there can be a siman, a sign, based on how they are put together and also in their number. In all of these cases, hareza yachzir, he can return the shtaros to the person who gives the siman, whoever can give the identifying factor of the shtaros, the number of shtaros, or the container that the shtaros are in. And the Mishnah says, v'kama aguda shel shtaros, what qualifies for a number of shtaros, a bunch of shtaros? How much is that? Shlosha kshurin zebazeh, if you have three of them tied together. Two, however, would not be sufficient a number, because if when a person finds shtaros and he says, I found shtaros, well, the minimal amount of shtaros is two. So it has to be at least three and above. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shimon ben Gamliel says, there is another type of a simon, and that is as follows. Echad halova mishlosha. If somebody has borrowed from three different people, and you find these three different shtaros from one borrower, and they're all together, so that one borrower, you can yachzir lalova, you can return it to the person, the borrower, because of course, how else did they happen to come together unless they're all from the same borrower, and therefore the borrower must have had the shtaros returned to him after he paid off these loans. However, if the documents are shlosha lovin meyechod, if there are three people, different people that borrowed from one person, yachzir lamalva, then you return it to the lender, because it's clearly came from the lender. Matza shtar ben shtarosav, if you find a shtar among your shtaros, this is not talking about a lost object, but you have a group of different shtaros, different documents that you have been the trustee for. Matza shtar ben shtarosav, you find the shtar, the eina yodea mativo, but unfortunately you no longer remember what the nature of this document is, meaning to say you don't know if the lender gave you this document to hold, the borrower gave it to you, or perhaps part of the loan has been paid off and part not, and they agreed to put it in the hands of a trustee. If you don't remember it, Yehemunach Hashiyov Elio, it has to remain by you until Elio Novi comes, who will clarify all of the svekos, all the doubts in halacha. The Mishnah's final halacha is talking about a different scenario, not where you're a trustee for shtaros, but you are a lender, and you have different documents that are held against various borrowers. But among your shtaros, you have a receipt that says that one particular shtar has been paid off already. What's strange is that the receipt normally should be in the hands of the borrower to show that he had paid off his loan. So what's it doing in your hands? So despite the fact that it doesn't really belong in your hands, yase masha besimponos, you have to follow that which is in the simpon, which is in the shover, which is in the receipt, that says that it's been paid off. We have to presume that what happened was that the borrower was going to pick up the receipt from you, and he just somehow never got around to it and left it there, and that's what happened. However, the Gemara says you only need to follow what the receipt says, that it's been paid off, if you find that the receipt among your shtaros that are ripped up. In other words, normally people would rip up the shtar after it was paid off, and you find it among those that are ripped off, though even though this shtar is not ripped up, but since there is a receipt and it's found among the shtaros that are normally ripped up, even if you, for whatever reason, didn't rip up this shtar, you have to presume that the loan is paid off and you cannot collect on it.